Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We are in week two of our sermon series that we're calling Better, Faster, Stronger. This is a four-week series on the work of the Holy Spirit. And last week we had our membership class, and a few people came because they wanted to become members of the Bridge. And one of the things in the membership class it says is that we consider ourselves to be a Pentecostal church. And one of the ladies in the meeting said, I've never heard you talk about this. Why don't you talk about this? And my answer to her was, so many of us have different connections with this word Pentecostal. Some of us are totally scared or freaked out by it, and for some of us, it's a comfort in what we grew up in. But for us, all it means that we're Pentecostal is that we believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of you. You don't have to be ordained to hear from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be ordained to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God sends the Holy Spirit on every person. That doesn't mean that we're going to do anything weird or make you do anything weird. All it means is that we believe the Holy Spirit is an active part of every believer's life. So we are committing 4 weeks in May to talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we debunked some things. We called out some things that maybe we've learned before. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, so we'll be talking about speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that maybe weird stuff if you've never been around it. But we're going to talk about what the Bible says about these things. So I'm excited about this series, but I'm really excited because Joel is going to come and share today. So would you welcome Joel as he prepares to bring the word?
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly, for that introduction. You just took half of my introduction, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. But it is great to be here, and we are excited about the Holy Spirit. And amen. I don't even have to say anything else. Come on, Holy Spirit. I have a couple of scriptures I want to read to you this morning, and let's just get right into this. Luke 3:21 says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" And Luke 4:1 says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are connected to you by your Holy Spirit. And today we petition you, Lord. We ask you to come and speak to us in power today. Lord, we don't want just another message, Lord. We want a word from you. And Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who are here today that need to hear from you, God, that their hearts would be open, Lord, and that you would authentically come here and change the atmosphere today. We need your presence here. We long for your presence here. We welcome your presence here. And we say, Lord, come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so a comment from John Bevere. I don't know if you know the author John Bevere. He's a speaker, author. He has some great teachings on the Holy Spirit. In his book, An Introduction to the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit is one of the most ignored persons in the church. Wow. What a statement. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the God who lives inside of us and indwells us, is one of the most ignored persons in the church. But you know, a lot of this comes from the statement that Kelly just mentioned, and she also mentioned in her message last week, is that there has been a lot of abuse. There has been a lot of weird things done in the name of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a, what do you want to call, Pentecostal background, and I've seen some weird things as well. But I've also seen some very authentic moves of God through the Holy Spirit and through power. So if you're going to talk to me, I am not going to be shy about the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I will tell you my experiences, but those experiences also line up with the Word of God. And those experiences have shaped me today and impacted me and changed me and helped me to become who I am through the power that is at work in me. That's the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not going to be shy about it. My goal is not to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but I feel like we have to be authentic. I feel like if you're here today, maybe someone drug you here. I know that was me when I was a kid. Like, my parents used to drag me to church. Or maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever drug you here today. Maybe you're here because you're hungry. I don't know. But whatever reason you're here today for, God has a word for you. He wants to speak to you. And I feel like we owe it to be authentic and allow the Holy Spirit to speak His word to you. And He speaks in many different ways. Last week, Kelly brought a message on the Holy Spirit, of the person of the Holy Spirit, and how He's not just an entity here to just empower us, but He is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. And those are terms you might not be familiar with if you're not a part of a long-term church. You don't understand some of these terms, but it is a part of God. He is God. And so, with that said, some of the things that she taught on last week is the roles, some of the roles of the Holy Spirit. He connects us to the Father. He teaches us about sin and righteousness and conviction, which leads to salvation. And He reminds us of the things that Jesus taught us. And as she mentioned earlier as well, we're going to be talking next week about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues or prophecy or whatever. I don't know what she's preparing. But as we go into this, it's going to be a shock for some of you, because some of you come from completely different backgrounds, but it's going to be the Word of God. And I want to tell you and encourage you, I'm giving a plug for tonight, if you want more of the Holy Spirit as far as like understanding and teaching or just experiencing through prayer, I have a Holy Spirit class tonight at the BCC, our office. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in that, just come and let me know after the service, and I'll give you the details on that. And so, building on the foundation of what Kelly laid last week, and you're going to be thankful for today, but because this is hopefully going to be one of my shortest messages, because I want to, and you'll know that after I'm finished. But we'll see, right? You're like, yeah, right, Joel. We know that you're the longest-winded preacher you have at the bridge, so. And Gordon will maybe keep me in line. And I would just like to say also, it's great to have my wife in here today, Kristen. Amen. She's usually downstairs helping with the children's ministry, and she's such a blessing, and a person who's also full of the Holy Spirit, who I love and has blessed my life. Amen. And so, amen. Let's give the altar call now. So as I've been preparing this message, it's been a little bit of a struggle, to be honest with you. Because I'm saying, you know, the Holy Spirit is so deep, He's so wide, He's so complex, but He's so simple. And He's so real and so powerful, yet gentle. And I'm thinking, what aspects do I need to bring of the Holy Spirit? You know, I mean, where do you even begin? Where do you, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and these things. But two words that the Lord has been dropping into my spirit are surrender and empower. And so I pray that this will be a word for someone today. Maybe it's a word for me. I don't know. You can take it if you want as well. But we can't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit without surrendering to the Holy Spirit. We cannot have the power of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of His presence, and His, if we do not surrender to Him. A minister that I like to listen to says everything that we do is spiritual, including worship, prayer, evangelism, living in holiness. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own. Any human efforts are going to produce human efforts, but things that are produced by the Spirit will produce spiritual results, and those results are lasting results. Romans 8:11 says, "The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Amen. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was on the life of Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that anointed the Apostle Paul, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the deep waters when creation was spoken into existence, the same Holy Spirit resides in you. Amen? Isn't that something powerful? It's the same Holy Spirit that has existed from the beginning. He resides in us. And we often hear this, and I often say it myself, I want more of the Holy Spirit, which is kind of a funny term because we have all of the Holy Spirit that we need. We have just as much of the Holy Spirit as the Apostle Paul had. We have just as much of the Holy Spirit as Jesus had. We have just as much of the Holy Spirit as all the prophets and people who were used by God to minister in the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament that we read about. We have just as much Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But it's not a question of how much of the Holy Spirit we have. It's a question of how much of the Holy Spirit has of us. Did you hear that? It's not a question of how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but it's a question of how much have we surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to challenge you that a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit leads to a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. A life surrendered to the Holy Spirit leads to a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, I'm saying, Lord, you know, there are so many ways I could take this and so many things that I can speak. So I'm going to speak a little bit from a personal standpoint today and also how it has impacted my life of surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I'm not an expert. I've worked on it over the years. The first point is the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome sin. And I have a lot of experience in needing to overcome sin. Trust me. If you don't, man, I don't know. I have had a lot of experience in the enemy and my own decisions attacking me. And I'm saying, God, I need your help. I need your help. So I want to come back to that in just a minute. But one of the greatest examples that we have is Jesus. One of the greatest examples of someone we have with their life being surrendered to the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And this is such an enigma to me. It's so strange because Jesus was God. He was the Son of God, but he was fully man and he was fully God. But he still, as the human side of him, he needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And after that, what happened? What happened directly after that? Jesus was led into the wilderness. Now, I don't know if you find it funny, but I kind of find it funny that when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, one of the things he says, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And one of the first things that happened when Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, God led him into the wilderness, and the enemy tempted him. I thought that was kind of funny, but God will never lead you into temptation. God will lead you into intimacy. God was leading him into a time of intimacy to break away from the world and to go in and to be intimate with him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and it might sound kind of funny right now, but you'll understand in a minute. Have you ever had any experience with malaria? I have. I used to be a missionary in Africa, and my wife, Kristen, and myself, we suffered with malaria several times, and our son suffered with malaria 10 times in a matter of 18 months. We know malaria. We know it's a nasty parasite that attacks the weak, basically. It attacks usually people who are very elderly, who are maybe women who are pregnant, or young children whose immune systems are compromised. So with that information, I would say the devil a lot of times is like malaria. He tries to attack you where you're weak. Jesus went into the desert, and he started fasting. He fasted for 40 days, and he became hungry. I don't know if you've ever fasted for any amount of time before, but me fasting after 3 hours, I'm like, God, help me. I can't do this anymore. I'm weak. But it's a time where you're trying to deny yourself, deny your flesh. And this is what Jesus was becoming weak in a sense. And that's when the devil started coming in. Hey, if you're really God, tell these stones to become bread. He started using the word of God against Jesus. But Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit, depending upon his power, surrendering to his leading, quoted the scripture back to the enemy, quoted the scripture back to the devil, and said, no, this is what the word of God really says. And so for Jesus, he stood upon the word of God, and that's how he overcame temptation. And so we can stand upon the word of God to overcome temptation. As we surrender the Holy Spirit, we can speak the word of God over our lives and overcome the temptation. There's power in the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the word of God to be written. Amen? And so that's one of the greatest examples we have. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. I already quoted you that scripture, at least the first part of it. Romans 8, 11 through 14 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit living within you. Let's continue. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do whatever the sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. He's talking about spiritual death here. If you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. You will live. How many of you want to live? How many of you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? I do. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now let that hang on for a little bit, and we'll come back to that. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul addressed basically the same issue. He said, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. How many can you truly say, if you're being honest between you and God right now, can you truly say, the Holy Spirit is the one guiding my life? I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. But Paul's saying, let it be a practice in your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Basically, we still have to crucify that sinful nature. And Paul goes on, I want to look at verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Paul was saying that if you are a child of God, if you have been truly born of God, then you have taken that sinful nature and you have nailed it to the cross with Christ Jesus when he nailed himself to the cross, when he was nailed to the cross for your sins. Jesus took away that burden of sin, that burden of death. And Paul also stated several times, I have to die daily. Did he mean physically die? No. He meant I had to die daily to my sinful nature. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me. Many of you know that scripture, and you've quoted it a million times maybe. But how many times does the enemy get in there and he tries to distract? He tries to hit you where you're weak. He tries to distract you from the plans and purposes of God in your life. I can share with you from personal experience that the Lord leads and he speaks to people in different ways. I grew up in church. Many of you know, some of you know my story, some of you don't. I grew up in a church setting. My parents were Christians. I can't say that I was never taught the word of God. But honestly, I never really got it. I never really surrendered my life to the Lord in a way that was meaningful. And so, from the time I was 13 years old to the time I was 20 years old, I fell into a lot of junk, and I made Gordon look like an altar boy. I know he's told some of his story, but you know, I used to lie and cheat and steal and beat up and do all these other things. I only do a couple of those things now, but you know, God's still working on me. I only lie and cheat now, so I'm still working. God's still working on me. But I stopped stealing. But God did a miraculous thing in my life through a church much like The Bridge. It was a church that was hungry for the Spirit of God. It was a Pentecostal church in name, kind of like we are. But it wasn't necessarily one of those weird churches. All they were hungry for was the presence of God. They were worshiping Him. And so here I am, a 20-year-old young man, completely lost, away from God. And I'm living my life however I want to live. But I have this conviction in my heart because my dad is praying for me to give my life back to God, to give my life to God. And so he's always constantly reminding me, hey, son, you need to give your life to the Lord. You need to get right with Him. And I'm like, Dad, I'm good. I'm all good. I'm okay. I've got my life right. And you know what? I even carry a Bible around with me, you know. It was kind of like a good luck charm. Like, you know, like maybe this thing will protect me if I get myself in a bind here. But I don't think it was just that. I think that the Holy Spirit was leading me and pushing me and calling me to Himself, kind of like what Kelly was talking about last week, that conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so as I said, look, Dad, I know that I'm probably not where you're at, but for your birthday, I was living away from them, obviously, and for your birthday, I'm going to go to church. And so I went to this church. It just happened to be whatever church was closest to me. Because I had lost my driver's license. I didn't even have any driver's license because I got busted for drinking and driving. And so, look, there's this church over here, and it had this big, ugly steeple. And I was like, that's the one that's closest to me, and I see it. And so I went to this church, and as I went in there, the presence of God was so powerful in that place as the people were worshiping God. And whether you believe this stuff or not, whether you've experienced it or not, I'm not trying to convince you today. What I experienced that day was the manifest presence of God. He came down in power that day. The atmosphere was so thick that you could cut it with a knife, in a sense. And I just felt the presence of God there. And I started getting scared, to be honest with you, because I knew that something was going to happen. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came in such a way that the place just shut down. It got quiet. And, okay, some of you are going to be freaked out here, but there was a tongues and then an interpretation of tongues. And so with this interpretation, again, I grew up in that atmosphere, so I wasn't completely freaked out. But a lot of times with these interpretations, it was very, thus saith the Lord, you know, this, this, and this. But this one was like, it cut right to my heart and said, God sees exactly where you're at today. You have never been in this church before, but He knows that you, or let me say this again, God sees you where you're at. You've never been in this church before, but God wants you to give your life to Him because He's got plans for you. He wants to use you not only in this church, but in many other places of the world. He wants you to give your life to Him. And I'm telling you, that was the Holy Spirit of God speaking through the gifts of that congregation. And I cannot deny that. And it's impacted my life. And so that's one way that God speaks to us. And that's how God started me on this journey. And so here I am in this journey. I actually, at that moment, you're thinking, man, Joel's just, he must have given his life to God right there. I didn't. I crossed my arms, in fact. I crossed my arms and I said, whatever. That's not me, man. I ran back to my apartment and closed the door. And it wasn't, but maybe the next day, someone from that church followed me up and said, they saw me at the mailbox and they said, hey, I saw you at church. And I was wanted to lie. I was like, no, you didn't see me at church. You Jesus freak, leave me alone. I was just there because I had to be. But it was just like the Spirit of God was drawing me, and He was using that church to bring me in to what He wanted me to do. And so ultimately I accepted this invitation to go back to church. I ended up going to the youth group, Go David, because I felt like it was going to be less of a commitment, you know. But ultimately I ended up giving my life to the Lord through a time of reading the Bible at my room. It wasn't some big dramatic experience. I just gave my life to the Lord. I said, God, I surrender my life to you. And so when I surrendered my life to God, I know that the Holy Spirit filled my life. But with that, and I'm going to close with this here in just a minute. With that, I knew that God was calling me to something. I knew that God was doing something in my life. And so I was living with my sister at the time, and I knew that God was drawing me into ministry. Some of you want to go into full-time ministry. That's great. Some of you don't. That's great. You got to follow the path that God has for you. But I knew that God was calling me into full-time ministry, and so I started thinking, okay, well, I'm no saint, but, you know, I'm going to start preparing myself. So this is a matter of a couple weeks to a month or so, and I started doing, you know, these exercises and reading through the Bible, and I talked to my pastor about it. I said, you know, I really sense that I've got this fire in my belly, you know, and I want to preach the gospel, and I want to go and change the world. And he's like, well, just keep working on it, you know, just keep praying, just keep seeking the Lord, and, you know, keep coming to church. That's a good place to start. Just keep coming to church, be a part of a small group, you know. We always want to go out and do these great things, but, you know, be faithful to the small things. And so I started saying, okay, that's great. So I went home, and I started studying the Word. I started looking at scriptures, and my niece at the time was 8 years old. And I said, man, I've got to start somewhere. You know, I go to Brittany, and I'm looking at her, I'm observing her, and saying, okay, here's an issue that I can preach to her about. And isn't that awesome? You know, I'm like, I'm so full of myself. And so I go to her and I say, I find these scriptures and I get it together. And she was a, I don't know if all 8 year olds are the same, but, you know, she was kind of a smart aleck to her parents, and knew it all and didn't want to obey. And so I got these scriptures together and I went to her and I said, Brittany, you know what? God doesn't like it when you do this and when you do this and when you disobey your parents, when you talk back to them. And then all of a sudden, she looked back at me, and this is an unlearned, spiritual, unlearned person, 8 year old. She looks at me and she says, does God like it when you smoke and when you drink and when you do things that do not glorify Him? And she didn't know my life. She didn't know what I was doing. But I had still had addictions and struggles in my life to drugs and alcoholism and other things. And here I am trying to do the will of God and preach to my knee. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me through her at that moment. And, you know, you say, that's crazy. You know, God used an angel to speak through a donkey to speak to a false prophet. You know, He can use an 8-year-old girl. He can use whatever means He wants to speak into your life. And at that moment, the Spirit of God spoke into me. And I said, you know, I've tried. You know, I've been trying to kick these habits. You know, I've been trying to get this sin out of my life. I recognize it. You've convicted me of that. And I can't do it. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that time. He didn't speak to her. She was out of the equation. Now he's speaking to me, and I'm hearing his voice. And he's saying, Joel, I know you can't do it on your own. That's why I want you to surrender me so that I can help you do it. And I said, Lord, I surrender to you right now. I surrender these issues to you right now. And from that moment, God set me free. I can guarantee you, God set me free from those addictions and from those struggles, and it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was an action of surrender on my part, coming to a realization that I was trying to do all this on my own, which is never the intended plan of God. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. And the only way that you can be dependent upon Him is if you truly surrender to Him. You can know all about the person of the Holy Spirit. You can know all about the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. You can know all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and do all these other things. But if you're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, you will not be walking according to His plan. God's plan was never to let me continue in temptation and sin. His plan was for me to overcome that by the power of His Spirit so that I could be propelled into His plan to do the good works that He's called me to do. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of God on my life. I feel the presence of God in this place right now. And so as we close this morning, you know, my last point was that God has created you to do good works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. There's nothing that you have done to save yourself. It's only by grace. You cannot boast about it. But he didn't save you just so that you could be saved and live with him in eternity and just have this happy-go-life forever. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. And I realized that at that moment that God saved me for a reason, and he set me free for a reason, and he empowered me for a reason. And that's to do good works. Acts 10:38 said the apostles, Peter was preaching to the crowd of believers and unbelievers, saying, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. This Jesus, and then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Let me tell you what, the devil is still alive and well, and he's trying to oppress people. He's trying to destroy the lives of people. He's trying. Even last night we had an incident here in Paris. That's the devil getting into people's lives and trying to cause fear and anxiety and pain and hurt and destruction. But God said, "No, I'm sending my son and I'm sending my spirit upon this earth to do away with that." And he is sending his spirit upon us as his people to do the good works that he has called us to do. John 14:12 says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done." Jesus is saying, "You will do the same works I have done." You're saying, "How can I do that?" He's the Son of God. Because he is going to be with the Father. When he went to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit came in fullness upon us. And we're going to be talking more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit next week. But today I want you to ask yourself this question. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Is there truly freedom in your life right now, wherever you're at? Have you truly surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that sin, that struggle, that pain, that guilt, that fear, whatever it is? I'm not going to call out sin. You know, the Lord has used me in the past to call out sin in people's lives. Today, that is not going to be me. That's going to be the Holy Spirit dealing with you, with whatever you are dealing with. Amen? He is speaking to someone right now, and he wants you to respond. Isaiah 61:1-2. Jesus, after he was led to the wilderness and tempted and overcame this temptation, he went into the synagogues and he started teaching the people. And he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, for the prisoners, and recovery for the sight of blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If you would just stand with me this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to take anybody out of their seat. But I do want to make people available to pray with you. If you need prayer, we're going to be down here at the front available for you to pray. But today, I declare that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. If you are a child of God, just like Paul declared, you are a child of God. If you are a child of God, the Spirit of God is going to lead you and direct you. If you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you. You have the Holy Spirit upon you, and he has anointed you to do good works. What are those good works? I don't know. Work that out with the Lord. Maybe he's called you to a healing ministry like Yamina. Maybe he's called you to a preaching ministry. Maybe he's called you to a secular work ministry where you're loving on your coworkers, where you're giving water, where you're feeding the homeless, where you're praying for the sick. I don't know, but God has anointed you. Now it's time for you to surrender and walk in that anointing and do what he's telling you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we feel your presence here this morning, and I pray that you will speak clearly to your people, Lord, who are gathered here today. Lord, if there are those here who are far from you, who don't know you, I pray that you will convince them. Lord, I can't convince them, but I can say, Lord, you convince them. You convict them of their sinfulness, and you show them the way to righteousness through faith in what you have done for us, Jesus. And Lord, I also pray for those who are here who are struggling with sin, that they would struggle with it no longer, but that they would surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit who is here and working in their lives, and that they would overcome it. And they would overcome it. And Lord, I pray for those who are called to do greater works, who have not been doing them, who have been set aside, who have been saying, making excuses, saying, well, I'm not good enough, or well, I don't have that talent, I don't have that ability. I pray that they will surrender to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and be empowered like they have never been before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.